Our first guest is, well, let's talk a little bit about the topic first. It is, you know, kind of homeschooling, and which has maybe a stigma that has happened over the years. I think it's probably changed with a lot of information online, some quality education available that people can take part in, standardized tests, all those things that make it a lot less mysterious. But we still need to have people stepping in and making sure that the kids are being served well by the parents and their desires to school them at home. On the line with us, we've got Tara Costa Howard. She's state representative. She's chair for the Adoption and Child Welfare Committee for the Illinois House. Representative, welcome to WGN.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
No, I think it's great. It's one of those things you're seeing more and more, I feel like, and of course you could add some context to this, but for homeschooling, initially when I was a kid, the homeschooler, maybe it was a rural situation, maybe it was a situation where there were, you know, certain religious beliefs for the family, or they felt they wanted to do this or control that, you know, or maybe it was like a cult or something, you know, I don't know. There were a lot of different situations that people would find themselves homeschooled. Now I've got to think it's expanded just because of the access to sort of quality educating that isn't dependent on the parents. Representative, are there more kids getting homeschooled now than ever before?
Well, we believe that there are. I think COVID played a part in that. We saw a number of children not be re-enrolled in school after COVID and after the schools were, you know, the kids were back in school. But the reality, though, is we have absolutely no idea how many kids are being homeschooled in the state of Illinois.
I know that there's laws on the books where, you know, kids are obligated to go to school. The state, you know, is requiring them to go to school. I think it may be till, is it 16 with parental permission, or maybe it's 18, or maybe it's to a certain grade, or maybe, I don't know. I have an uncle, he's passed away, but what he went till eighth grade, and he got held back so many times he was able to drive his own car to eighth grade, right? It's a famous family story. So I guess it does vary.
It does vary. And I think one of the interesting things about homeschooling is that, again, we do have compulsory attendance laws here in Illinois, right? That's why we have truancy cases that come up. But with homeschooling, it's a little bit different. They learn at their own pace. They teach at their own, families can teach at their own pace. And so it's a lot more fluid.
Well, you have a new bill that you've got rolling in the House, and the whole purpose is to kind of be able to assess what kind of education the kids are receiving, because ultimately when they get done with their high school years, they're going to have to utilize that to go to the next step or provide their future or whatever it is. Talk a little bit about the inspiration for this. Were you finding that maybe kids were getting out, they feel like they've been homeschooled, but it really was woefully lacking as far as preparing them for the next level? Or were you seeing something else that said, hey, we've got to do something?
I actually got involved in it because of the number of DCFS cases where children were allegedly being homeschooled. They were either never enrolled in school or they had been enrolled and for some reason the parents removed them from school. And no one knew those kids even existed. And that's the piece about homeschooling. As I mentioned, we don't know how many children and families are homeschooling in Illinois today because Illinois has zero laws on the books about homeschooling.
Wow. Well, you know that you want to, I mean, I think just in the general concept, you want to give parents as much latitude as possible to help shape the education of their children. But you're right. If there's no real ways to, you know, to determine whether they are being homeschooled or to check up on the status or check in on it, I guess certainly something needs to be done. And I think as an enterprising kid, how does one pull themselves out of school and become homeschooled? I mean, is it the kind of thing, because, you know, I remember back when I was a kid, I might have written myself a note, Dane will be homeschooled, you know, henceforth, right? And then just gone that way.
Right. No, it's a parent or a guardian can just walk into school one day and say, we're out. We've decided to homeschool our children or this particular child. And that is all an individual, a parent, a guardian needs to do. They don't have to show what they're going to teach, right? They don't have to show a curriculum. They do have to do absolutely nothing. In fact, they don't even have to fill out a form. In the past, Illinois, the State Board of Education school district had a voluntary form to let for parents to complete if they were home, decided to homeschool. But about a year or so ago, the State Board of Education stopped told the school districts, we don't need to know this anymore because we don't do anything with the data. And so that's what House Bill 2827 actually does, is it has parents, it requires them, if they are going to choose to homeschool, that they're just going to fill out a very basic, simple form indicating that they've chosen homeschooling as their form of education for their children. That's it. That simple.
How did it come, you know, oftentimes, you know, your actions, the committee's actions, the things that you do are a mirror towards, you know, the public and the society and what it is that they think they need or should have or they want or you want for them. I mean, I don't think the homeschool kids are probably protesting saying, hey, let's get some standards in place. Was it the schools saying, hey, there's some people that disappeared, we'd like to know what's happened with them? Or is it maybe at the next level, you know, maybe colleges or something saying, you've got to find a way to standardize or figure out, you know, what these people are doing?
Well, I would say all of those things in some way. So I was contacted over the summer about an article in regarding homeschooling and the fact that people didn't know where anybody, what had happened to these kids. It was a ProPublica article that I was interviewed for because, again, there were situation after situation where kids 7, 8, 9, 10 years old who were being neglected. They had been in school, they had been pulled out, and a hotline call had either been made or we have children who were actually killed. So, yes, I have had DCFS caseworkers talk to me about it. I've had school people talk to me about it. But when I read this when I was interviewed for this ProPublica article and started doing a lot more research, myself, my colleague, Representative Michelle Mussman, we were appalled, shocked, horrified that Illinois is one of the very few states that has nothing on the books as to why we want to do this. So for myself, I've been involved in child welfare since 1998. I've worked as an attorney in child welfare. So I have seen this. And what typically would happen is if a parent chooses to pull their child from school and says, we're homeschooling, everything stops. No one knows anything about that child, anything that happened. Nothing unless a hotline call would be made, for example. But if a parent just decides they want to homeschool, no one necessarily has contact with that child. Now, as I say that, we of course have some parents who are doing an amazing job homeschooling their children. Absolutely. We see it. They're involved in all kinds of activities. They're in society. They're preparing for society. They're great. But not everybody is working at that level.
Yeah, let the listeners know we're talking with Tara Costa Howard, a state representative, chair of the Adoption and Child Welfare Committee for the Illinois House. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Representative, you mentioned it. You know, you think of maybe it's just whether good or bad preferences for the parents on the education side. But you made me think, and I'm sure some listeners are as well, that this could be a way to either camouflage or avoid, you know, whether it's child abuse or trafficking or a lot of different things that could come into play where they just want the kids to be unsupervised and having no one kind of worry about what it is that they're doing or where they are. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. It's Let's Get Legal with Dane here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, it is Let's Get Legal. It's Dane in for John Hansen and the whole thing powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Continuing our conversation with Tara Costa Howard, state representative, chair for the Adoption and Child Welfare Committee in the Illinois House. Representative, welcome back.
Thank you.
So before we get into the next couple subjects, Iridia and I were talking before the show of some of the inspiration for getting into the line of work that you are. And you think about your work with, you know, juvenile and court and all of that kind of stuff. Was that the inspiration for saying, hey, you know, there's so much I can do in the courtroom, but maybe on a bigger basis and maybe statewide, you know, let's get involved on the political side?
Absolutely. I had an opportunity. I've spent my career in child welfare. And by the time I was actually elected, I realized I was the only one who had any juvenile court experience. So I bring to the table a different perspective, right? I actually am in the courtrooms. I know how the system works. I know the lingo. And I think it's really important, particularly in child welfare, to be able to understand the legal side of it, as well as the balance of what it's like to be a parent in these situations and to be able to protect a child.
Heck yeah. I mean, you think about this, you guys as legislators have to consider and vote on just this huge range of issues. And it's hard to stay, almost probably impossible to stay up to speed on all of them. So to have that expertise and experience in there, not only can you do it, but can share it with the other committee members. You mentioned Illinois having really nothing on the books to protect kids when it comes to homeschooling. And so when you think about this, and you said compared maybe to other states, were there other states that had maybe things in place that you said, well, let's take a little bit of this, a little bit of that, or some states that are really doing it well on the best practices side?
Yes. And some of that actually came from homeschool alumni. We were also contacted by they are adults now, former homeschool students as well, and really to take a look at and talk to them about what were the big gaps in their education that failed to prepare them for the future. And so we had an opportunity to look at what other states are doing. And I think what struck myself and Rep. Mussman was the fact that, again, Illinois had nothing, and that states like Arkansas, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, Ohio, Nebraska, Tennessee, are typically states that maybe are not quite as heavy in public education, were states that were actually already regulating homeschooling in some fashion. And so we were able to look at other statutes and work toward a statute that we think actually meets the needs that we have here in Illinois.
In building it, of course, you had the legal side of it to take into consideration. But you mentioned, you know, as we all know, there's some parents that are doing a great job, right? And maybe they feel and are executing what is a superior education for their kids on the homeschool side. Did you take any of that into consideration, or maybe add some of those parents in and saying, well, this is the way that it can be done, should be done, what we should look to?
Actually, we did. And I think that was why the way the bill was drafted, it is really not a burdensome task. It is a homeschool declaration form that basically states that you know, the name, age, grade of your child, parent's name, and as the homeschool administrator, and also for the homeschool administrator parent to tell us, do you have a high school education? Do you have a high school diploma or an equivalent? Because again, we have nothing. So I want you to think about the fact that you might have people who don't have a high school education teaching their children. We also want to, it goes without saying. So I kind of say that a little as a joke, but the truth is, you know, yeah, there are parents out there who are doing it well, and they don't necessarily have education backgrounds, but they were able to kind of share some of the interesting things that they've done and how they've done it well. So we think it's important that homeschool families are not burdened with all kinds of paperwork. We just want to know these kids exist.
Yeah. And maybe some of those parents, you know, outside, maybe more than just the, as they say, the quote unquote, like the book learning, right? You know, so they have all sorts of other life lessons that they can add to it. There are things that are laws that are great to have, good to have, positive, some that are necessary, negatives maybe right in there. But this one I think is important too. And before we went to the break, we talked a little bit about the fact of, you know, with whether it's trafficking or whether, you know, there's child abuse that happens where parents will pull the kids out because they don't, you know, having the kid in school is something that draws attention to the situation that is negative for it. Was that something that you thought of as well in those situations? You know, I mean, it's in the front of the news, but this is a way to at least approach it.
Absolutely. So, for example, there was a case that in it's called Jerseyville, Illinois, that the child was pulled. He was a 6-year-old child in 2019. He was pulled from his school to be homeschooled, who died. And no, there was nothing that was happening that with this child. He was just pulled from school and he was gone. There was a child in Rock Island. Again, this family had a history of abuse and neglect to this child. And there's nothing in our statute, unfortunately, but there's nothing in the law that if you have existing cases of abuse and neglect, if you have a history of it, even if you have a criminal history that would prohibit you from working with children, you can still be a homeschool parent.
Wow. Okay, so here, one of the last questions that I've got here, and this is something that people are, you know, calling and texting in on a regular basis, is as there's contemplation and likely execution to dismantle the Department of Education. How will that affect maybe not only this situation here and this bill or funding for it or whatever would happen with it, but also just the things that are under the purview of your committee? Just in a big picture, what kind of things does that impact?
Well, I think everybody should be afraid and scared to say what could happen if we dismantle that. Because, yes, I expect to see cases rising of a potentially abuse or neglect with our kids, because our schools, whether they are public or whether they are non-public schools, are the first line of defense with our children. Our schools are our safe place for kids. That's where they're open and honest, we hope. That's where teachers and individuals in those school buildings can see a child on a regular basis. They see their change in personalities, not just maybe that they have a bruise, but also, do they look like they have that they're not eating? Or is their behavior change? What is going on? And those people in any of our school settings are our first line of defense to keep kids safe. And if we dismantle the Department of Education, we should all be afraid that once again, we're going to lose a line of defense to protect our children.
And when it comes to the bill, I know you guys have it pretty much handled. You have a plan to get it passed and work through that. But for the listeners, if they want to weigh in and support House Bill 2827 or get more information on what it is, I'm sure there's a lot of words in there. Where can they go?
They can contact my office directly, but I would also... I'm Tara Costa Howard of the 42nd District. Our office is located in Lombard, but they can also go to ilga.gov to find their state representative or their state senator and send them an email or a phone call in support of this bill. This is a really important piece of legislation that we want to hear from people. We are shocked every day at the number of phone calls and emails that we are receiving, that people had no idea that Illinois doesn't have any regulations and that anybody could be pulling their child out of school and heaven knows what's happening and nobody knows that kid exists. So we want to hear from you.
Of course, we'll have that up at WGNradio.com, those links. And, of course, the committee doesn't define you for people who want to get involved. Lombard is a pretty big area out there. Where can they go and maybe information, social media, or other ways that people can connect and stay on top of things?
Well, they can always follow me at RepTCH42. All of our social media handles, as well as our email, reptch42@gmail.com. We want to hear from you, and we want to know how people feel about this bill or any piece of legislation that's out there. Our office spends a lot of time knocking on doors all around to really hear from the people who live in our community. And we receive emails and phone calls from all over the state. And it's important that people are connected to their state legislators as well. We talk about the federal government all the time. But let's remember, all things are local, and your state representatives and senators are here to help as well.
Representative Tara Costa Howard, doing the people's work. So, Representative, thanks so much for everything you're doing. And thanks for jumping on the show today.
My pleasure. Thank you. Anytime.